First, they killed my father. A daughter of Cambodia remembers. By Luong Ung. Narrated by Tavia Gilbert. Copyright 2000 by Luong Ung. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Creative Well Incorporated and was produced in the year 2011 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright there too. Author's note. From 1975 to 1979, through execution, starvation, disease, and forced labor, the Khmer Rouge systematically killed an estimated 2 million Cambodians, almost a fourth of the country's population. This is a story of survival, my own and my family's. Though these events constitute my experience, my story mirrors that of millions of Cambodians. If you had been living in Cambodia during this period, this would be your story, too. Phnom Penh, April 1975. Phnom Penh City wakes early to take advantage of the cool morning breeze before the sun breaks through the haze and invades the country with sweltering heat. Already at 6 a.m., people in Phnom Penh are rushing and bumping into each other on dusty, narrow side streets. Waiters and waitresses in black and white uniforms swing open shop doors as the aroma of noodle soup greets waiting customers. Street vendors push food carts piled with steamed dumplings, smoked beef teriyaki sticks, and roasted peanuts along the sidewalks and begin to set up for another day of business. Children in colorful t-shirts and shorts kick soccer balls on sidewalks with their bare feet, ignoring the grunts and screams of the food cart owners. The wide boulevards sing with the buzz of motorcycle engines, squeaky bicycles, and, for those wealthy enough to afford them, small cars. By midday, as temperatures climb to over 100 degrees, the streets grow quiet again. People rush home to seek relief from the heat, have lunch, take cold showers, and nap before returning to work at 2 p.m. My family lives on a third-floor apartment in the middle of Phnom Penh, so I am used to the traffic and the noise. We don't have traffic lights on our streets. Instead, policemen stand on raised metal boxes in the middle of intersections directing traffic. Yet the city always seems to be one big traffic jam. My favorite way to get around with Ma is the Ciclo, because the driver can maneuver it in the heaviest traffic. A Ciclo resembles a big wheelchair attached to the front of a bicycle. You just take a seat and pay the driver to wheel you around wherever you want to go. Even though we own two cars and a truck, when Ma takes me to the market, we often go in a Ciclo, because we get to our destination faster. Sitting on her lap, I bounce and laugh as the driver pedals through the congested city streets. This morning, I am stuck at a noodle shop a block from our apartment in this big chair. I'd much rather be playing hopscotch with my friends. Big chairs always make me want to jump on them. I hate the way my feet just hang in the air and dangle. Today, Ma has already warned me twice not to climb and stand on the chair. I settle for simply swinging my legs back and forth beneath the table.